Wait, just a minute. So, okay, sorry, I should have started. Yeah, prefaced it. We are on at right at the beginning of your base, and the base coming to you. Give all that fun. So the Gemara says these things, these shushi and these shvatsri. Should not be used for sach. I have no idea what just happened, so I'm just going to ignore you all. They are vegetables of some sort, apparently. Okay. Why would you not be able? Sorry, misachin milk. You can make sach out of them. Why? What's the hard min that you would not be? You would not be out of them.
Mekabel tumah.
Yeah. So usually foods are mekabel tumah. These are apparently not mekabel tumah. I'm not actually certain what it's being referred to. It's apparently a leafy vegetable of some sort. I am not certain what exactly it's being referred to, and therefore I am not certain why it's not mekabel tumah.
But
what?
Arnza.
It's true, now we know exactly what it is. Okay. Abaye Amar Beshushi Mesachin Beshvatsri Lo Mesachin. Abaye says one you can use and one you can't. Okay. My timer, what's the reason? Kevan Desari Rechaihu Na Shavik Lehu Venafish Venafik. Okay. One of them you should not use, not because it's Mekabel Tumah, right? Not, he's not disagreeing with the initial statement. What he's saying is that since it stinks, it smells bad. Oh. So if you use it as your schach, you're not going to want to stay in the sukkah. Therefore, midaravanan, you can't use it for the sukkah.
It smells nice. Aren't you getting
cabbage from the schach?
No, it doesn't smell.
No, but what happens if it smells very nice?
No. We paskin, that's a good question. We paskin reichalav milsehi. So the Gemara, that comes up in two contexts. Firstly,
If you walk past a non-kosher bakery or a non-kosher food and
what happens? We'll get to that in a minute. That's a different Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay. Briefly, the Gemara discusses whether what's called reicha milsehi. Basically, we paskin that reicha is not really, really, really hanah. Right, I'll get to the one exception that the Gemara said and seems to make that particular rule in a second. The case in the Gemara is if you put bread on a barrel, on an open barrel of wine, which is non-kosher, or stam yenam, or yen nesach, or if you were to breathe in deliberately the smell, like as if you put your mouth over a hole, it goes into a barrel of stam yenam, and breathe in the smell, remember that's tasting it, right? So that's not asur, because we pass in reichalav milsehi. We also pass in b'dieved, like this is a big nafkamin in ovens, right? So a question of, is it permitted to use the same oven for milk and meat, assuming the oven is completely clean? Not passing that as lamaita because the question is a little bit complicated. But in theory, reicha is not a problem. You could have milk and meat in the same oven at exactly the same time, right, without a problem. There is a separate issue called zeah, which might make it a problem. I'm not going into that right now. Right, but as we said, the smells mixing, there is not a problem. We don't pass in the smells mixing, will create a problem with color.
The question is to put them in right after each other or in the same time?
No, put them in even at the same time, right? Or right after each other for sure. Like I said, I don't want to get into the details of that one, and I'm not passing a lamaisa because it's complicated. I'm just mentioning that it exists. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses if you walk past a base of Avodah Zarah. So they used to burn Shuras, they used to burn incense in a base of Avodah Zarah, right? Can you walk past and you enjoy the smell and you hear the music they're making, enjoy that too? Is that a problem? Right?
Is it? Hopefully not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So the Gemara says it's not a problem, right? The Rishonim have an argument about why not. Most Rishonim say things like it's Dar Rishonim Miskaven, you don't really want to, or they link it in, like I said, with Reichel Amelsi, it's the Ritva, right? The Roish has an opinion which the Chafetz Chaim thinks we should pass, and like at least for Chumrah, that what you really have to do is you have to close your nose, is you have to hold your nose. Apparently that's not the Roish, it's the...
This guy is at a house of asses.
Toitzvitz, I think, excuse me.
So that's anytime you walk.
So lechatchila. Most of the Achronim don't hold that way. Wait. Most of the Achronim take the Gemara like what it simply means in a civil meaning, and what most Rishonim say, that for whatever reason this is not a problem, and therefore, equally, walking past a non-kosher bakery, I mean, the bakeries takes a certain amount of effort to make a bakery really, really, really trade. Maximally, what they're going to have there is milk and bread. So the truth is, some expensive bakeries in Europe or in Puerto Rico have they use lard as the fat.
Yeah,
lard. So that is, of course, Oster. That's unusual these days, but it's very expensive.
Oh, is it?
Kitzer, right? A bakery is not usually really treif, as in it's like a treif derban on a milk bread, which is Oster, but it's I don't think the smell there would be a problem. But, like, let's say a non-kosher restaurant of some sort, you can smell there's a wing in the kitchen, which should be Ma'amesh treif min a Torah. So we passed in that, just walking past and smelling it. I mean, as long as you're not deliberately smelling it, as long as you're not, inhaling it for the sake of enjoying it. But if you just walk past and happen to catch a whiff, that's not a problem.
When
I'm stuck standing,
I think I already answered that.
Are you allowed to enjoy it, or are you supposed to not?
You're meant to like rush past as much as you can.
Okay, yeah. In my school, there was like a deli of sorts underneath it. Like, it's like a tall building, so whatever, it's on a hill. And then sometimes during the morning, sometimes we were davening, like the smell of bacon would just overwhelm you. It's very strong.
Apparently, our is either wormwood or absinthe.
There you go.
I don't think it's absinthe though, because it might be.
It's exceedingly unlikely that they would want to make a skach out of absinthe. Therefore, it must be wormwood.
Which would make sense to ourselves.
Okay. Yeah. Therefore, if your skach smells nice, I do not think that constitutes a problem in halacha, right? What you should not do, what people do on Sukkot, and you really shouldn't do, is you should not hold your esrog up to your nose and take a big whiff. That's not correct.
On
Sukkot that you can.
You just wreck my Sukkot.
I try, you know?
What happens if you snip the box? So it's not actually the
etrog
itself, but it's the box.
Common practice
is to
sniff
it.
It smells like the etrog itself.
You take the etrog outside the box.
Yes.
Then the car is the same issue.
It smells like team spirit.
So you can't.
You know it.
Okay. No. Okay. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Rava. Rav Chanan Bar Rava said, "Hane hizmi vehigi mesachinu." Right. By the way, that's not to say that there's no heter whatsoever, but like, as in, I think the better noag is not to do it. Is not to sniff her. Sorry, in sockets. Okay. Rav Chanan Bar Rava said, "These hizmi, right." And higi, which is some sort of bush apparently, you can use them for stuff. Abai Amar behizmi masachin behigi lo masachin. Abai splits it again. One he says you can, one he says you can't. My time, what's the reason? Kevan de nasri tarfayu shavik lehu ve nafik. So one of them basically sheds. Like the second you uproot it, it starts shedding very strongly, and you're not going to want to stay in your sukkah. If it's sukkah, it's basically raining twigs. Right? So that's the reason why you shouldn't use that for stuff.
Don't people use like pine trees though? Like the ones with, like the green trees, the evergreen trees.
Do they like shed a lot?
Well, once they dry, they do.
Actually, I've never been to Sukkot and been like constantly shed. Once in a while something falls, but
okay, it's like a constant shed.
I think that's what it sounds like. Yeah, not like once in a while something. Okay, you're in a Sukkot. Like something's gonna fall in your head once in a while. Like okay, Amarav Gidol Amarav. Hi, Afkusa de Dikla Mesachinu. Af Agav de Agidi. Okay, so he says this. Of course, it says Mutsa Dekel, right? Basically, the trunk of the pine, right when it's right next to the ground, that wood over there, right? The spines, right? The spines that come out at the base of the trunk. You've seen a pine tree; it has like these bark spines all around the outside. Those, right? And even though they're connected to each other, they come off as one piece basically. And that's similar to a bundle, and we said you shouldn't use bundles. Right, you shouldn't use bundles because people think you're drying stuff. Not people think you're drying stuff. It'll lead to a chashash of taste of lemon ashtu. Because you put it up originally in dry stuff and then you change your mind. Right? Eged bi deshamayim loy shmei eged. It was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He made them that way, and therefore that's not called a bundle. It looks a little bit like a bundle. It's not really a bundle. Okay. Afal gav dehadar agilahu eged bechad loy shmei eged. And even though you would have bundled them up later, so the Rashi thinks that this is not talking about the spines anymore. This is talking about the branches. The branches of the palm tree, right? Those you can bundle as well and use them for stach, right? And even though normally we don't use bundles, in this particular case you can, because they're all connected together at the top of the tree. Meaning all of the branches of the palm tree come out of the same spot, right? So once they all come out of the same spot, if you didn't bundle them together, that's not called bundling. And therefore it is mutter to use that as chach. Amaravchisa amaravina barshila hane dukre dekane mesachachid behu afagav deagirinu eged bidei shemayim loy shmei eged. Another basically type of twig that comes out of a palm tree, apparently, right? You can, and apparently again it comes sort of bundled together, or they come as groups, so you can use them for stach on the same reason, because it's an eged bidei shamayim. It was like made as a bundle by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? And it's like afal gav dehadar agid behu, and even though you're gonna bunch them all up later on yourself, eged bechad lishmei eged, since they all come from the same point. Even though they're all, since they come out of the same point, that's not called a real eged, that's not called a bundle. Tanya Miyachi, we have a bright that says the same thing. Kanim v'dukranim v'sachmin en, fine. Right, these things that we've been talking about, you can use them for sach. Kanim shita, right, twigs, that's obvious. Excuse me. Mother. Ima, that is to say, kanim shol dukranim, mean these twigs of these dukranim, what we're discussing, right, you can use them for sach. Ve'amar Rav Chista, and Rav Chista said, Amar Ravina Barshila, he said the name, and he said the name of Ravina Barshila, Hane Mare Risa De Agma Adam Yoytze Ba'en Yedei Chavasa B'Pesach. So, it's basically, it's, Rashi calls it the horseradish that grows in lakes.
Lakes?
Well, Chazeres is horseradish, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that it's talking about some sort of seaweed. Okay. I'm assuming that's what it's referencing, right? You can use it for Pesach, for what?
Maror.
Very good. Meitive, egoiz, veloy ezov yavan, veloy ezov kukli, veloy ezov midbari, veloy ezov roimi, veloy ezov sheyesh, lo shem, levai. So we have a response. When the Torah says that you can use that you need an ezov, what circumstances does the Torah say you need ezov?
It's true.
I'm sorry? When?
Mitzorah.
Where else?
Painting the blood on the doorpost.
And what's the last case?
Yeah.
That teacher said that, yeah. What's the third case?
Sukkos.
No.
Butter.
Mip. Just randomly mention halacha in the hope that we'll get to the right one.
There was a whole hekesh between Mitzor and Sokka.
So you're getting the spirit of it. Paradoma. Right, you flick the water. Okay. I'm sorry? Oh, you want Paradoma? That's such a big step? Okay, square. Right? So, right. When the Torah says you need Ezov, when the Torah says you need Ezov, which I believe is Hysop.
Yeah,
I don't know what a Hysop is, but apparently that's what it is. Right? So, what we mean is that, and not Ezov Yavan, and not the one that goes specifically in Greece, and not the one that goes Ezov Kuchli, which is some other type of it, and not Ezov Midbury, and not the one that grows only in desert, and not the Ezov Romi, which grows apparently in Rome, I assume. Right? Velo Ezov Shiyeshmethem Lo Shem Levi, no Ezov, which is like, you say, this type of Hysop, right, is a different breed. Just the generic one, that is the one they were referring to in the Chumash. Okay. Presumably it's the one that was around in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Amar Abaye, Kol shenishtane shmoi koidem matan taro vasa tora vekbita alea biadua sheyesh le shem levai. Abaye said, Abaye said that, right, anything which had its name changed, right, it has its variety of names that are sort of all around the same, a variety of objects that all basically share the same name, right, before Matan Torah, and the Torah gave you only one of them, then you know for sure that the Torah wants only that one, right? So since these different types of hyssops were around for a very long time, right, I assume the Torah wants only the one that it was talking about. Vahane lo nishtana shamayu kodem Matan Torah kol. Anybody that says, but these, that's not true, right? There weren't all of these around before Matan Torah. They came about later, apparently, right? Rava Amer Hani. What? That's therefore you should be able to use them, right? It's a problem, right? Rava Amer Hani Marisa Stama Shemayhu. Oh, sorry, no, it means these morers. Their names, the name didn't change before Matan Torah. Meaning there weren't 10 vegetables that were all referred to as Mara X, Mara Y before Matan Torah. Not different types of hyssop. Different types of hyssop there were for Matan Torah, different types of Mara there were not. Right? There weren't 5 different things that were all referred to as Mara.
And therefore you could actually use this Mara.
Therefore you should be able to use lots of different Mara. This is a good reason for it, right? Rava Amar Hani Mararisa Stama Shemayhu Vahida Karilu Mararisa Da Agma Mishum De Mishtakach Da Agma. Rava says no. When we say any maror is called maror, right? All these things are really called maror. The fact that it's called the maror that's found in lakes is not because it's a special type of maror that's only found in lakes and, you know, therefore it's its own species and therefore the Torah didn't want you to use it. It's because this particular maror happens to be found in the lake. It's a practical comment, right? If you want to use this maror, where do you find it? In a lake.
That's all.
It's yes, nothing. That's nothing. Okay. Yes, and therefore you could use them as Pesach. By the way, we passed them this way that you can use any Mara on Pesach.
Yeah, that's
right. The truth is there is
carrots.
Carrots?
What?
We
use carrots.
That's not correct. For carpus you can use a carrot.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, we use potatoes.
You can use any vegetable for carpus. I know.
I can use Mara.
Mori Virabi Rav Yosef Blau uses banana for carpus.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the reason why is because who was the one who came up with it? Yes, one of Rabbi Teitz, right, Zichron Levracha, who was his son, who was his father-in-law, you decided to use banana as mara for Pesach just to make everybody carpus, excuse me, just to make it clear that it was a that wasn't a dhamma.
Why does Rabbi Yosef use banana?
Like because his father-in-law used to use a dhamma to make it obvious that it wasn't a dhamma. Okay, fine. Okay, Toif. Anyway, so maror, you can use any type of maror. There is a major machlokes about chazeres, about horseradish.
Why is there machlokes?
This is not really bitter, it's sharp.
Sorry?
It's a different flavor, right? It's not, people say it's not bitter, it's sharp. Exactly, right. The Gemara specifically excludes using things that are sharp. Right, you're meant to use something that's bitter. So if you taste, I don't know, something bitter, coffee.
Could
you
use a lemon?
It doesn't, no, that's sour. That is a different flavor. Okay. Amar Rav Chista, Igid Bechad, Loi Shmei Eged, Shalesh Shmei Eged. Right, so if you were to basically tie a bunch of branches that all come from the same place together, that's called Eged. If you were to tie 3 separate branches together, that's for sure an Eged. Right, what about 2? Right, if you basically take 2 things and tie them together, is that called an Eged? Is that Aser? Right, is that Aser to use of Shkach? Machlik is Rabbi Yezir Rabbanan, is Machlik is Rabbi Yezir Rabbanan, this Naz we have as a Mishnah, Mitzvah Seidav, Shlisha Kelachin. 3 twigs, right, or 3 roots, says Rashi. Uvahen Shlisha give Olin, and each of them should have 3 buds on it. Right? Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mitzvah Seidav, Shlisha give Olin. Right, each of them should have in fact 3 buds. Veshirav shnayin, right, and each, but they should only be 2 twigs. Right, meaning they're disagreeing when it says agudas ezov. Right, what does it mean? Does it mean 2 twigs or 3? the mitzvah of a zov. Anytime the Torah says you want an agudas zov, right? Remember, there are three places the Torah says you want an agudas zov. So anytime the Torah says you need this, right? I mean, it's really four times, because you use it twice during paradoma. But fine, whatever. Okay, what are the two times you use it in paradoma? Now that I've told you that, that's where it is. One's when you're spritzing, and not the other time.
When you're burning.
Throwing it. Paradoma. It's not in the Beit HaMikdash. What? What do you do with it?
You mix it in.
With
red water.
With red lime, Chaim El Kelly.
We throw it into the flame.
We don't know.
Alex, we don't know these things. Shat
Chomesh.
It's so hard to know.
Jeez. Alex, don't be
condescending. This is somebody who happens to know the minutiae in the century of Festival, so.
Me? What do I know about Sefer Yechezkel?
You've at least once corrected me about things in things that I said at Sefer Yechezkel. So.
One, Alex.
One,
Alex, yeah.
It's
got a good point.
Okay, fine. So, right, a zov, anytime Torah says you need an agudas zov, a bundle of a zov, right? It's erez a zov, a shlisa las. What do you do? What do you need? You need three. Chacham say you need three twigs of azov, right?
Actual twigs.
Yes. Right. And each of them will have three buds on it.
Three twigs and three buds.
On each one.
Yes.
But each that's the definition. And Rabbi Yossi says two twigs with three buds each.
It's a bundle.
It's a bundle.
Yeah.
Right.
Two twigs and three buds each.
Yes. Therefore, they're having machlokes. So, well, what does the word aguda mean? Right? Does it mean two or three?
I'm just a bit confused in the Chachamim source. Is it three, each one having three buds, or the cumulative buds?
No, each one having three.
Nine buds.
Okay. Right. Vegardumav kol shehu. And once you've used it for... What does the gardumav mean? So, Rashi says... Not here. Right, Rashi says... Where does the word gardumav come up in halacha? Where's the most famous place it comes up in Alaka?
Sounds familiar, but...
Don't you have a Mishnah Berurah Seder?
Yeah. Don't you have what?
Wait, a Kitzur Seder? A Halacha Seder, right? You know, I know you don't. But you have a Chai Adam Seder, no?
We have a Rav Mordechai Seder.
I thought that you had, like, a Halacha Seder.
We used to it. It wasn't a Seder, it was he has Nifta. Notes, learn in your own time.
It was Nifta.
Baruch Lanamis. Okay. So... Right? In Tzitzis, right? When the Tzitzis snap... Right, what's left is called the gardumim. Why gardumim? And it looks like somebody chopped his head off with an axe.
We had no clue what it was talking about, so we just skipped that off. Remember that?
That is a very valid approach when learning Shulchan Aruch.
We weren't even learning enough to have this to do half-sitting for him.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so that's what a gardumim are, right? So basically when you're constantly spritzing water, right, eventually this twigs are going to snap. So, how long do they need to be and still be kosher? The answer is it doesn't really matter, as long as they still exist. And, fine. Kasalka daitim idishiyarav shavidishir shtayim tchilasa yiname shnayim. Right? So, what did Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi said that you start off with three, but if one falls off, then it's okay. You only really need two. Right? That was Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Oh, yeah, I didn't make that clear before. He said that the Gemara is assuming that since you start with three, but if one falls off and you only have two, that's enough. Therefore, two is good enough to be called a bundle. That was the logic. Okay, right. So since you start off mid shiur shtayim, since you have two left, right, tchilaso na mishnayim, it implies that two is enough, right? Maybe not lechatchila, but the other that counts as a bundle, right? Ve'haide kasani shleish lemitzvah, and you only need three for the purpose of like doing an extra mitzvah, right? It makes it better.
Two bundles, three buds.
Okay, then since Rabbi Yossi thought that three was the mitzvah, like was a better way of doing it, then it must be Rabbanan are saying three is bet yeved. Right? If you have less than three twigs, it'll be no good. But that's the implication. The Asanya, and we have a bright Rabbi Yosi Amarezev, Tchilasa Shnayim, Vesharosh, Veshiyara Vechad, Pasol. Veinu Yakashar, Shiyet, Tchilasa Shloisha, Veshiyara Shnayim. So then the Gemara says, but wait, don't we have a brisa that Rabbi Yossi said that if you didn't start off with three, it's possible but the Eved, even if you have two left? I mean, if you start off with two, it'd be possible. If you start off with two and go to one, then it's possible. If you need to start with three and then you can bet the Eved lose one and it'll be okay. So it says, Apuch, we're going to understand the brisa in the opposite way. Rabbi Yossi thinks that at least starting off with three is necessary bet the Eved, but if one falls out, it's no, but not such a big deal. The Rabbanon, Shlosh L'mitzvah. Rabbanon, who said three, they were the ones who really thought it was only L'mitzvah. But you could even start with two, and that would be Mutar B'di Eved.
So we had a bit of a switcheroony going.
I'm sorry? Yes. Exactly. How long have we gone? Oh, we have time. Okay. I have 5 more minutes, so we can finish this tomorrow. Okay, Vehasanya, didn't we have a brisa that says something different? Ezov, so if you have Ezov, which has two twigs, and then one falls out and there's only one left, kosher, that is kosher in fact. Ve'eino pasul et shiyet chilasav shiyara v'chad, it's only possible if you actually start with only one. Right? Don't we have a brisa that says that? Shiyara v'echad pasul, ha amras shiyara v'echad. Pass kosher. Wait, the first half of the brisa said that if you have only one left, it'll be kosher, as long as you started with at least two, right? But and then it says it's only possible if you have two at the beginning and one. Oh, sorry, only one at the beginning and the end. So is having one at the end a problem or not? Ela'ema, rather, this is the way you should read it. Ad shetehe tchilase kishiyarav echad, right? So that's what. So what? This is what it meant to say. The only time it's possible is when there's only one from beginning to end. Meaning, if you start off with one, it's possible. If you start off with two, it's kosher, even if it goes down to one. Rabbi Yossi says that if you start off with three and it goes down to two, that's kosher. If it goes down to one, it's possible. And Chamim say if you're starting out with three, it's not necessarily necessary. You can really only start with two. Bedieved, right? So Dara. It's a darash maremar. No, we will stop. Okay, bye.